It is our pleasure this morning to welcome to the pulpit from Pakistan by way of Houston, Texas. Amen. Missionary, actually the overseer of Pakistan, and a great brother in Christ who's going to come and share the gospel with you, and then later also share with you, in fact, maybe through the whole thing, what God is doing. I always love to hear the news of what God is doing in different parts of the world. I believe we're living in the last days, and God is doing an awesome work around the world. And so we are delighted to have Bishop Jonathan Remath with us today, and we want him to come and take his liberty to minister to us at this time. Can we give him a Mentor Christian Life Church welcome this morning? Amen. Bless you, my brother. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Glory. It is such a privilege for me and honor to be here this morning. I thank Pastor Don for allowing me to come and share with you what the Lord is doing in Pakistan. And I have also bring greetings from my 210 churches in Pakistan that we have in that nation. Many times I have traveled across America, and people ask me, we never thought we have these many churches in that nation. Because Pakistan, as many of you know, it is a very stronghold of the Islamic faith. And currently, the war on terror, our terrorism and ISIS, all that dilemma or a drama, whatever is going on in the world, Pakistan actually is a heart of everything. And we border with Afghanistan, we border with Iran, and you know that the world is focusing on that region right now. It's like a spotlight in there. So the Lord has sent me here this morning to let the church in America know that even though we live in that challenging region, but the body of Christ is alive in there. The body of Christ is very active in Pakistan, in that region. And some of the great people in America and from other nations have come into the nation, and we have done several of those big, we used to call them the Crusades, but until recently, you know, the Islamic mindset have become very, they're showing very much reaction about the word Crusades. You know, they say, this takes our mind back into those Crusades era when there was a war between the Christians and the Muslims and all that took place. And so we have named those Crusades into different like festivals of healing festivals or a spring festival or a prayer festival for Pakistan. So we have conducted several of them in Pakistan. And we want to let you know that the last time one of the great preachers from America, Pastor Marilyn Hickey from Denver, Colorado, she was in Pakistan, and we were able to pull almost a crowd close to 500,000. And to tell you the truth, Pakistani Christians are just 3% in a nation. We have 220 million, as Pastor said. We are the sixth largest country in the world, and we have the sixth largest military in the world as well. And Pakistan is actually right now playing a very big role in the current scenario on the war and terrorism. But as we are moving toward the end days, Pakistan is a very important nation who's going to play a very vital role as we are reaching toward the war of Armageddon. And I'm sure if you are familiar with the Parrish Stone, pastor is, and his wife is, where did she go? We talked about Parrish Stone last night while we were having dinner, and he wrote a book, Eighth Kingdom. Parrish Stone is, you know, I like him because he's the end time prophet who's, you know, revealing a lot of the prophecies. And he wrote in his book, Eighth Kingdom, that Pakistan is going to be that one of those nations, those 10 nations of the end time war. And he mentioned in there the 10 nations, and Pakistan is one of them. So I have come here this morning to bring some awareness as well and some encouragement as well from the Word of God that how important that region is where we are doing a ministry. And I have come to challenge you as well that you, the people of America, people of the church in America, what role can you play in these end days for the gospel work, for the kingdom work, to progress in a fast mode? Not in a very, you know, slow motion, but in a fast mode. Because as we are moving toward the end times, I think we have to come out of that slow motion mode into a fast forward mode. Because the time is getting out of hand. And as we are, you know, moving toward the end days, the fastest growing religion in the world, which they claim Islam, is the fastest growing religion. And to a certain extent, it is. When I came to America for the very first time, I traveled with my father when he was a national overseer in the nation. I was very young. I'm talking about 20 years ago. So 20 years ago, I looked much younger, you know, and I was a very young boy. And Islam has been my interest from the beginning. Because we were living in that country. I studied Islam. I studied the Quran, those books and everything. And I found out there were 30 Islamic centers in America. I'm talking about in year 1998. 30. And I was just in Florida last year, and there was a T.D. Jakes conference there. And in that conference, there was also one open forum on let's discuss Islam. So they had people from Capitol Hill, from Washington, D.C., from some of other government officials were there, and people from Pew Research Center from Washington, D.C., they were also there. And they mentioned that currently there are more than 4,000 Islamic centers right here in United States of America. So it's like, you know, from 30 in 20 years, they moved from 20 to 4,000. It's a very fast growth that they're doing, you know, right here in this nation. And I believe that it is not just a challenge for America as a nation, but it is also a challenge for the church of God, that before the return of the Lord, as we are moving toward Islam, moving toward the end days, Islam is the last frontier for the church to overcome. And I'm just going to discuss that with you in a few minutes. So we in Pakistan, when we are doing ministry, we're actually dealing with the challenges of death and life every day. It is not just like America, where the life is very easy and, You know, I know there are challenges here too. Don't, you know, get, you know, mixed up with the, there are challenges here, but these challenges are different than what we face in that part of the world. You know, we have the challenges where somebody can literally come and put a gun right here and he will say, deny the name of Jesus or else I'm going to take your neck off. These are the challenges that we are facing in these end days. So I have a word for you this morning. And through this word, I am going to be discussing that what can we do as a church in these end days. So if you have the Gospel of Matthew with me, you can turn the 24th chapter. I'm reading from verse 32, and it's very, very simple and plain word. I have not come with a theological discussion here, but I'm simply speaking the word as it is written in the Gospel of Matthew. And of course, you know, these are the words of Jesus Christ himself. In verse 32, it says, now learn the parable from a fig tree. When its branches has already become tender, soft, and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until these things take place. And then in 35 verse, it looked like Jesus has sealed it. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So, in other words, there is not even a slight chance of a doubt. Because Jesus himself is saying, first of all, these are his words. And then after saying that, he says, heaven and earth will pass away. But my word that I'm just talking to you now, seal it. It's not going to pass away. It has to come to pass. You know, beginning from last week, I watch TV a lot, television, because I live in a region in the Middle East where I want to update myself what's going on. You know, sometimes some people hate TV and all those things. And on top of that, you know, we live in a social media time where, you know, something had just happened in maybe thousands of miles away, and in seconds that news is spread out and it's viral throughout the world. People will see it. So I saw as the U.S. military was, they're making way out toward Syria to clean up the mess, what had happened there, that chemical, you know, reaction of the government killing their own people, children and innocent humans and all that is going on there. My mind actually went back into that time when America actually attacked on Iraq. And the reason why it is all my concern, because the Middle East region is going to play a very vital role in these end days. It has been my desire to go to Israel one day, God willing, I will. But under the current citizenship that I hold as a Pakistani, it is a big stamp on my passport, I can assure you, that this passport is valid for the entire world except Israel. So, as a Pakistani citizen, I have no privilege to go to Israel. I cannot see those things, you know. When I see my friends posting their pictures going there, and my heart, you know, I'm jealous that why I cannot go there. But I'm praying as well as I'm working on something that God will open a door for me one day that I will go. I see people. In fact, I noticed one of my friend. He was standing by that wall. You know where all the people will go and they lay their hands on it. And they pray. Right? Do you know what that wall is? Does anybody really know that? Now, here is it. That wall is the remaining of what used to be there. You know that there used to be a temple that Solomon, the son of David, built, even though that had been destroyed several times. But it was rebuilt, and it was rebuilt, and it was rebuilt, it was rebuilt. And even when Jesus himself was on this earth, and Jesus even prophesied, and he said, while he was coming out of the temple, and his disciples were showing him, you know, the architect and all that was in there, and Jesus said, upon this, there will be no stone on this stone anymore. It's going to be destroyed. So later on in the 70th or 71, it was again destroyed. But the prophecy is, when Jesus was born, an angel, Gabriel, came to Saint Mary. You know all that, the Christmas, you know, message in the first chapter of Luke. The message was that you're going to have a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. He shall be called the Son of God. But God will give him the throne of his father David. So that throne, which nobody knows where it is right now. Do you know that? Perhaps not. Does anyone know? Maybe not. But the promise is that throne is going to be restored, and Jesus is going to come and sit on that throne as a king. So the prophecies are, as we read in the Old Testament, that temple has to be rebuilt, that throne has to be restored, that kingdom has to be restored, so that the King Jesus can come and sit on that throne as a king. That's what we are waiting for, right? So all these things that you see, the war, the rumor, the war on terror, the war in Assyria, the war in Iraq, the war in Iran, the war in Israel, actually, all these things are setting up the stage for the king to come and rule over that kingdom. So Jesus said, be very sensitive. Don't just sit back, chill, and relax. But he said, be very sensitive. Sensitive as back in the years when Jesus was on this earth, there was no way of, there was no weather channel. Let's put it this way. Right now you can predict the weather, what is going to be next week, or in 2 weeks how the weather is going to be, right? But back then, Jesus said, learn from the parable. He was teaching, Jesus taught in parable, and he says, learn from the fig tree. Touch it. And be sensitive to the situation around you. So I have come here this morning to let you know that to be very sensitive as the U.S. forces and the other allies are moving towards Syria, be very sensitive because the stage is going to be set for the king to come and sit on that throne as Jesus Christ the King. It is not an easy move as the Capitol Hill. That's why we are commanded to pray for Israel. But I'm going to challenge you this morning to add another thing on that, to pray for your Capitol Hill, because America has a very significant role setting up that kingdom where Jesus is going to come down and be the king for us and for the entire world. The war, Jesus said himself, said the war and the rumors, when you see that, when nation against nation will rise up, don't be afraid. This is not the end of it yet. This is just a beginning. This is just a beginning. Many people I know have come up with the specific date and time and Jesus, is coming back. But Jesus himself said it in the 24th chapter that no one knows about this time. Not even angels of God, not even Jesus as the Son knows. This is something that Father has kept to himself. So don't let anybody come and deceive you that he's here or he's there and he's here. Bible says when he comes, every eye will see him. Every eye, every human eye will see him. So don't, if somebody has come in Mexico or in California that you have not seen, don't believe he's not the Christ. Because Bible says every eye will see him. So be very sensitive and see how the things are going toward. Now, Jesus, as he's coming as a king to be on that throne. Jesus, when he came in this world, it is interesting that Jesus never preached anything else but kingdom. He says, repent, because the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus did not preach healing. He just simply healed the people. Whoever came to him, he healed him. He didn't preach about healing. The only thing he preached is the message of kingdom. But to this event also, when disciples were all excited about it, when is that going to happen, and all those things, and there were he had few disciples, they just took him into the corner. Jesus had a circle. He had a circle of 12, circle of 70, and then he also had a circle of 3. I'm sure we all have circles, right? Who's in your circle? I don't know. Who do you spend most of your time with, right? I know Pastor, he's here. Of course he has a circle, right? He has some of his people that, you know, he just need to call upon, take them into their office and talk what they need to talk. So Jesus also had a circle, and that circle took him into the side, and they asked him, at least tell us. If not to the 12, at least we need to know, when is that going to happen? And you know what did Jesus said? Number one, he gave them a very straightforward answer. He said, none of your business. This is something that God himself kept that to himself only. No, not even me, no. But he said, one thing that I want to tell you, very important and very significant. He said, this gospel of the kingdom, this gospel of the kingdom, this gospel, he's talking about this gospel. That means there are other gospels as well. Don't believe in other gospels. Paul talks about it. He says, even an angel comes from heaven and tells you and gives you another gospel, don't even believe it. But Jesus said, this gospel that I am talking to you, what I'm giving you, that gospel. He says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the world, in the whole world, as a testimony to all the nations, to all the nations, then shall the end come. You know, if we are keeping the gospel, the good news, into these four walls, you know what is happening? The devil is winning. And we are losing. But God has not called us to be the losers. We are not losers. Jesus said, because I live, you will also live. And because I have overcome and won the victory, that victory belongs to you. So you are also victorious. Jesus has called us so that we can live a victorious life. Amen. And the victorious life is that you step out of your comfortable zones and start speaking about the kingdom of Jesus Christ to the people, those who have never heard in their life. There are people who are dying without it. There are people who have never even heard the gospel of Jesus Christ in their entire life. I have come to know recently, and my mind was shocked, that there are almost 2 billion, which is the 25% population of the world, which is Islamic. And out of that 2 billion, only 20% have heard the gospel. The other 80% have even not heard the name of Jesus even one time in their entire life. And we are talking about the end times. Why is that happening? Are we doing our job as church, as believer, as Christians? Or maybe we just think that this is the job of a pastor or an evangelist or a youth pastor or a bishop. The Bible says if you have Jesus inside of you, if you have Son, Jesus inside of you, you have a testimony. And that testimony needs to go out to the people, and people need to hear about Jesus Christ. Especially the people who are dying about hearing the name of Jesus Christ. You know, we are living in Pakistan. We have challenges. My father, when he graduated in 1968 from a full gospel Bible college in Pakistan, and he started a movement. I was not even born yet. And that movement was started, and he built his ministry on that movement. And that was that on Christmas Day, on the 25th of December. I know sometime when I talk about it, in the Western world, your mind does not understand, because for the Western world, Christmas is a family day. It's a holiday, right? I even went to a few places, and the Christmas came on Sundays, and they even didn't have the service on Sunday because it was a family day, which is okay. It's a cultural thing. I'm not condemning anybody. But I'm saying, for us in that culture where I have come from, Christmas is a day when we go out on Christmas Day. On that day, we have to go out and step out and tell everybody, every person we meet, that Jesus, Son of God, the Messiah, why he came in this world. And one of the strategies that I have developed over the years, after seeing my father doing these peace march processions on the Christmas day, going out into the streets of Pakistan among the Muslim nation, even though it is illegal in Pakistan, but during the Christmas season, government is very soft toward sometime, you know, we can hold our Christmas, singing programs and others, and we can also preach the gospel. I was invited a few years ago in the governor's house. The governor's house, of course, is a Muslim, but on the Christmas day, on the eve, the Christmas Eve on the 24th, they will bring the governor's house, the government will invite people from different religion. And the governor himself will host that. It's a high tea type of a, you know, celebration where they will bring the Christmas tree, you know, cake, and the governor will cut the cake with along with some of the bishops. And they want to send the message out of that, you know, government to the world that we are celebrating Christmas in Pakistan as well, because it is then telecasted on the media. So a few years ago, I was given the opportunity to share a brief 5 to 10 minute message on that Christmas. So this is how I presented that gospel to the hi-fi people up there. There were some ministers and governors and other, you know, establishment was there. So we were just a small crowd from the Christian community. Islam believes, that religion, that when Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, you all know that, right? When he became a prophet at the age of 40, I believe, he was praying in one of the cave, and he was not a worshiper of God or Allah or whatever. They were idol worshippers. So he was worshiping one of his idols there. So Allah, which they believe is the same God we serve, which I don't agree. I have my own reservations, but let's put it that way for a moment, just to talk to them, that Allah sent his angel Gabriel to Muhammad and said it to him that I, God, the Allah, has given you my message. You are my prophet. And I said, here is Allah, God, whom God sent angel Gabriel once again to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Muslims don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They believe Jesus is one of those prophets or a good man or any every other prophet like he is. So I said, here is Gabriel, angel, declaring Allah's message to Muhammad, the prophet. And here is angel Gabriel bringing Allah's message to Mary, that you are going to have a son, his name shall be called Jesus, and he will be the son of the Most High. So if I said, the angel said, the God himself said, you are my son. It is not a human made type of a myth or a story. So here was my point. If you have to accept one, you have to accept the both. Because it is the same angel Gabriel. He cannot lie on one occasion and tell the truth on one occasion. Right? So either you have to deny the both or you have to accept the both. And they all were staring at me the way I presented the gospel. And I planted the seed that the same Jesus that came, he came to save the world. The Bible says, whosoever believe in him shall have eternal life. He just did not come for the Christians. He came for the entire world. The message of that kingdom, the Bible says, Jesus himself said, has to be preached all over the world. Then shall the end come. Now I want to encourage you, and I don't want to take much of your time anymore. And I want to challenge you this morning. I know that we are very comfortable living in this country, which I don't blame you. It's God's blessing. This is what God decided to bless you here in this country as a nation. America is a very blessed nation. But I want to challenge you, while God has blessed your country so much, while God has blessed you as individual, as family, as a church so much, think about the people who have never opportunity in their life to hear the name of Jesus Christ. That's what we are doing in that part of the world. We are taking the gospel to the people, those who have never even heard in their life. And I want to challenge you to be a part. I just cannot do it myself, by myself, because, you know, it's just much difficult for me. I'm targeted many times. I am attacked many times. There was a time when my father and my mother and my wife and two children and few other people were traveling in a van with my father. And the whole van was kidnapped. This was just before Christmas. And the message came to our house to stop what you're doing on the Christmas day. Because that Christmas evangelism was making a big impact in the lives of people. And there were a lot of response. There were a lot of people who were sending us, you know, messages, writing us letters, and they wanted to know more about God, Jesus Christ, and they wanted to give their lives to Jesus Christ. And this particular terrorist group, they attacked our family, and they took them. And I want to tell you, that was the most challenging day in my life, and my wife, my children, my mother, my father, they were all in their control. And I thank God that even though I could not do anything much in Pakistan, but we had to call the United States of America in the missions office. I'm sure you know Brother Lovell Carey was a director back then, and he was a friend with my grandfather, actually, who they started Church of God work. And he was a very influential man, and he made some call through the governor's office in Tennessee into the State Department in Capitol Hill, and within 48 hours, I'm telling you, within 48 hours, our family was delivered without any harm and without paying a single penny to those people. What I'm telling you, that how much difference you here in America can make in the kingdom message. And what we are doing on the borders of doing in the borders of Afghanistan and Iran and Pakistan, I just want you to be a part. I just cannot do it myself and alone. I need your help. I need people from here to partner with us in this big, huge work that we just cannot do it ourselves. I want to present you a need before I come down and sit on, then I hand this mic back to Pastor. You know, Pakistan is a third world country and people don't own a lot of vehicles and cars. They just don't. And what we do is we bless our pastors with motorbikes. Harley Davidsons? No. It's very expensive. $20,000 bike, right? $30,000, right? You know, I have a Church of God page, a Pakistan page, and I put a lot of pictures up there. And one day, one of my friend in Houston, he put his comment on. He said, "Bishop Jonathan, take my Harley Davidson. It's just sitting there in the garage to Pakistan." I said, "Well, brother, I'm sorry, but in Pakistan, we can only own up to 250cc. Because police owns that. We cannot own what police owns it. So what we're giving our pastors is the 70cc motorbike. We have the pictures, Pastor, if you can bring them up. You will see. And what I want to tell you is how much difference these bikes are making in Pakistan. Through these bikes, every pastor is riding on this bike. You see, he's standing there with his beautiful wife, and they both ride together in the 30-mile radius area. 30 mile. Will you drive on a motorbike of 70cc in a 30-mile radius area every single day to preach the gospel? And they are doing it. They're going in every area in Pakistan, and this is how we are planting churches. And what I said earlier, we cannot just do it ourselves. This is how the women sit, you know, behind a man in Pakistan on that 70cc motorbike. And you know how much this motorbike cost? It cost about $850 for a pastor to own a bike. And, you know, if you go to China, when people apply for their visa and the embassy asks the Chinese people, "Do you have any property?" And in that property, they will write a bicycle, because bicycle is a very important travel means for Chinese people in China. Here is something that I'm telling you. This motorbike is the best friend, opportunity, investment that you can ever do in a pastor's life in Pakistan. Because on this motorbike, he's winning souls. He's riding on this bike for 30-mile radius area every day as he is preaching the gospel. And if you go forward, this is another pastor sitting on a bike, and he goes and he preaches the gospel. Last year, we just gave away 25 motorbikes in a year's time. And you know how much difference it makes? It planted perhaps more than 20 churches just in 1 year. In 1 year, more than 20 churches in 1 year. And planting a church in Pakistan, it's not easy when you are fighting a fight with ISIS and Talibans and all those people. It has to be a spirit of God that is protecting you there. And I have come to give you this praise report that I need your support. I want to challenge you. You know, you can see here, there are people sitting here who can just write up a check for a motorbike. It's very easy. To some people, it's difficult. But I want to challenge you this morning to invest in a pastor's life through buying him a motorbike so that he can ride that motorbike and win souls. As I said, out of those 22 billion people, only 20% have heard the gospel. The other 80% are still unreached in that Middle Eastern area and among the Muslim people. We can make a difference. You can make a difference when you will help pastor buy a motorbike. May the Lord God bless all of you as the pastor come forward and talk to you. Thank you.